Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by the president of our congregation, Mr. Zach Leon. How are you today, Zach?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very good. I've been looking forward to getting you here on the podcast and hopefully listening to some insights and ideas that you have to share with our members here. So this morning, the devotional we're going to be taking a look at was selected by you from Ephesians chapter 6, the first four stanzas. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So this commandment, this section obviously references the fourth commandment, with which we're familiar with. We're preparing for confirmation examination here coming up in a couple weeks, and Colleen Omundson has the fourth commandment, and so I always I have a joke prepared about how often her parents have to discipline her because she doesn't honor her parents. If you don't know Colleen, she's the sweetest thing, and just the child who is always listening to her parents and getting her memory work done and getting all her homework done on time. So I have a joke prepared and ready for that, and I think that's, you know, fitting with what we're talking about here, is this fourth commandment of, we like to think so often as parents of, this is the commandment for us, to help us.
Right.
But kind of what you were pointing out before we started here, Zach, was sometimes we like to cut off before we get to verse 4. But verse 4 is really the key for those of us who have children as we think about this commandment as well. You want to expand a little bit what we were saying before about that?
Yeah, so verse 2 is probably the most quoted, and verse 4 is probably the one that might need the most revisiting. As a father to about half a dozen kids.
About.
They're six. I do have to revisit it a lot because it does tell us not to provoke our children to wrath, regardless of how often our children may provoke us to wrath. Or maybe not, you know, to wrath. What do the other versions say? To anger.
Anger, yeah.
Anger is usually, is used a lot. So we just need to revisit that all the time and to be patient above all things. The more patience we show them, hopefully that will guide and show them to be more patient with everyone else.
You know, I always say with this commandment, you know, parents are called to be, it's not just honor your father and mother. That's the one half of it. But then the flip side of that is, mothers and fathers should act in a way that is worthy of receiving that honor, right? It's the flip side, too.
Right. So when it says, you know, obey your parents in the Lord, that doesn't mean that you get to make your child your slave.
Yeah.
You're supposed to obey them, as in pay attention, respect them, and they're not going to respect you, nor should they respect you if you treat them as a slave. So, although it starts with children, do this, and then it closes with, and you fathers, I think the whole thing is guided for a parent to read this. Children has no duty to respect a parent who is not doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when I do marriage counseling, you know, a lot of times I'll point out that, you know, your responsibility toward your spouse is not dependent upon your spouse,
right?
So you and I were called to love our wives, regardless of whether our wives are being lovable, right? Our wives are called to respect us as their husbands, whether or not we're being respectable, right? And you know, with this section too, it's children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, it's not obey your parents because they're always right. It's not obey your parents because they're perfect and holy. But it's obey your parents. Why? Because the Lord tells you to. But also in the Lord, right? So as parents, we shouldn't be leading our children in things that are ungodly or contrary to what God's will is for them. And that then comes to this promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And it's interesting he calls it a promise, right? So is that a guarantee? How do you read that, or how do we understand that? Because there's probably been some pretty good kids, you know, there's pretty good kids who get cancer and die early or
right.
have horrible things happen to them. So how do you understand this promise?
Which is the first commandment with promise. Mm-hmm. So now I didn't go to college for Greek, but I know a guy who did. Because I know no Greek. I try to look up these words, and then I'm kind of trusting other people. So I did have that. So is the promise that they will live long on the earth, or is the promise the first commandment mm-hmm. is with promise, is with honor, is with truth?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think two points I would make with this is one is there any child that's ever perfectly honored their father and mother?
No, none of mine.
Same.
Right.
So
they're good kids.
Yeah, right. But they haven't perfectly kept this commandment, nor have they kept any of the commandments perfectly, nor have any of us.
Right.
So God doesn't have to keep this promise to anybody, does
right.
he? You know, if that's the commandment with promise, if it's a, you know, it's a conditional promise, the conditions haven't been met on our end, so he certainly has no business doing that. But the other point I make with this is a, it's descriptive rather than prescriptive, right?
Okay.
And those of us who honor our parents, those of us who are respectful of authority, things generally go better for us in the long run. You know, this commandment, the fourth commandment, if you expand it beyond just the parent-child relationship, it's about God-given authority, whether it be the government, whether it be employer-employee, whether it be roles as teachers and pastors in the church, that kind of, or president of the church. Those authorities are given, is given by God, and we are to respect and honor those authorities, even though all of us to some extent have some sort of a rebellious attitude, you know, and especially you have three teenagers, right? So
right.
You're a little bit familiar with that.
I am very familiar, although that's maybe not where the most dispute comes from, okay. teenagers, but.
Yeah. But you get, there's a little bit of anti-establishment in all of us, right? That wants to push back against the man,
right.
You know, or the authority.
That's the, yeah, the testing of
yeah.
What can I do on my own? What can I do for myself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's the first thing for, it's Genesis 1:3.
Yeah.
Everything comes, it's the Gen 3 effect, I always call it. Or Genesis 3, sorry, I said 1:3.
Yep.
But Genesis 3, where the fall,
mm-hmm.
everything goes back to that. Every bad behavior goes back
yeah.
to that. Like, I can do it myself.
Yep.
And there's no time of somebody's life where they challenge that more than maybe 2 and 3 years old and then their teenage years.
Yeah.
Of, oh, I got this. I can do this myself.
Yep. Yep.
And you cannot. You cannot.
Yeah. You know, Adam and Eve, they wanted to define for themselves what's good and what's wrong. And, you know, in when we talk about bringing back to parent-child again, parents define for their children what is right and what is wrong, right? And we lean on God's word because we have God's word to help guide us in that. But in general, God has set parents to guide their children in what is good and what is right and what is wrong and what is evil. So we help our children to define these things. And when they decide, I reject your definitions, I don't want to obey, I don't want to do the things you say is good, I do want to do the things that you say are bad, mm-hmm. they're, in essence, making themselves their own parents or making themselves their own God, essentially, because they're redefining good and evil for themselves.
Right. So I heard once that we were, as parents, we're guardians of souls on their earthly pilgrimage.
Hmm.
And that sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we have a lot of help here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the authority cited here is in the Lord. And that's where we need to rest this responsibility and take this responsibility to. So our earthly duties of encouraging that child and showing them how to be patient, how to be loving, how to be kind. The fathers are specifically called out here.
Yeah, it doesn't say mothers, does it?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I think we're known for pushing buttons a little bit more than mothers are.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Well, and I think there's something too to a good definition for mothers and fathers, I think, and something that's very helpful for me as I consider my role is mothers love their children for who they are. Fathers love their children for who they can be.
Right.
Right. And you need both of those things because you need to be loved today for who you are. As a child, you need that.
Correct.
And mothers inherently do that, right? That's a very feminine, women love their children, right?
Right.
This is my child. I love them for who they are. But fathers, we're supposed to be farsighted. We're supposed to say, mm-hmm. okay, you know, we should love them for who they are, but also you can be better. And
right.
I see potential in you. And that's what I really see at the end of this verse 4. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's work on this. Let's get better. Let's grow together. And let's push you to be the best person that you can be, to find the skills, talents, abilities that God has blessed you with, and how can you really use those in God's kingdom going forward. That's the training and admonition of the Lord, you know, that idea. And fathers are here called to do that, you know. So I think it really speaks to our role as that kind of far-sighted, well, what can they be if we push them,
right?
You know, if we, you know, certainly love them for who they are, but love them for who they can be too.
I think mothers are very good at loving and praising what they have done. Quite a few years ago, a member here, Matthew Bush, he's a teacher, at a PTO meeting, gave a demonstration about praising not the end result, but praising the work they're doing through their project. And I've always thought back to that and thought of it as the father's role. Because they should be praised on, hey, that's a great art project. I really love it. I think a mother's really good for that. And I think a father's really good at, I saw you work really hard. I saw you stay at the dinner table an extra hour. And praising that work, I think that comes back to what you were talking about. The mother loves them for what they are, and a father is encouraging them and to strengthen themselves and to keep going. And that work is great. And that's what's going to take you and turn you into a great parent someday.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for my grandkids, but we'll see how that goes.
Hey, I'm with you.
Yeah, that'll let me know if I actually did an okay job.
So let's talk about that provoking to wrath idea. What are some ways that maybe we fall into that trap easily? And what are some maybe ways we could try to avoid provoking our children to wrath? Asking for a friend.
So I think consistent expectations and reactions is the best way to avoid provoking them to wrath. I don't think it means that if you punish your child and they're upset about it, that you did something wrong. But they should know what to expect. If they did something great, they should know that you're going to be happy, that you're going to praise them. If they did something not so great, they should know the kind of punishment or rebuke or correction that's going to come from that. Because kids like to test boundaries, and they like to know what can I do and what can't I do. And I think in a society that, and I'm sure every generation has said this, these kids are coddled, they're kind of getting away, you know, what can I do? Kids want boundaries and expectations, and if you set them and you're consistent with them, I think that allows you to punish and correct, but you're not provoking them to wrath because they know. They have that understanding, and I think they crave it.
Yeah.
That's just my view.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think of my kids are really big on the fairness thing right now, you know, because I have, it's eight, what do we have right now? 8, 6, and 5 are my three oldest kids, and so it's like, especially Samson, the 5-year-old, it's like, it's not fair. My sisters get to go to this and I don't get to go to that, or that equality. And nothing makes us angrier and more wrathful, provoked to wrath, than when things aren't fair.
Right.
I think that speaks a lot to what you're saying there is, you know, having those clear expectations of this is what is expected of you when you cross these boundaries in this way, this is going to be the punishment. And when you go even farther, it's going to be worse, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when they know when, you know, when you're messing around, it's not that big of a deal, you know, and you're playing, you know, you can get away with a certain amount of stuff, but then, you know, other times, well, hey, there's company over, or these are the expectations in this situation. And just being very clear and communicating those expectations to kids, yeah, I think that's a really important point.
Yeah, like high standards are probably one of the best things you could do for kids.
Yeah.
Because they want standards, and if you set them high, they'll reach them.
Yeah. And that's a great sense of accomplishment when they reach them too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all right. Anything else you wanted to highlight on these verses for us?
I think this probably needs a revisit monthly for any parent with kids between, I guess, in the womb until they're at least 25. I don't know. I'm finding out that just because your kid turns 18 and goes off to college doesn't mean you're done being a father.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, so write that down. I know. That's what they said, okay. But they lied. So here we are.
All right.
But he's a good kid. They're all good kids. I like all of my kids.
Yeah.
I provoke them to wrath sometimes, and I got to check myself on that. And I think anytime we read anything, it's not about yeah, I know somebody who meets this and should work on this.
It's, yeah.
Well, how do I?
Introspection.
How do I get better at
self-evaluation.
This? This is for me.
Well, I think one thing my dad always told me is he said, don't discipline your children when you're angry.
Yeah.
You know, and I always remember getting sent to my parents' room while my dad calmed down.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like my dad was an angry guy. Just we all deserved it.
Yeah, I bet you made him angry sometimes.
It was me and I have three brothers and myself and one sister. And so we were very deserving of his wrath at times.
Right.
But he was always very careful not to discipline us when we were angry. I think that's really good advice for parents too, is calm down, take a deep breath, you know, put them in a different room for a while if you need to, but then come with that consistent expectation like we talked about.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good point. And the last point I would just make, encouraging you all is, you know, this year, Emmanuel's focusing on family devotions. You know, we handed out 125 devotionals to our congregation, 130 actually, 130 plus. I'm really hopeful that we're all as families coming together and spending time in God's Word together. Whether it's that devotional, whether it's the Read the Bible in a Year program, we're trying to encourage families to get together around God's Word, because a healthy family is going to lead to a healthy church when it comes to spirituality. Is if we're all, you know, the church is here to supplement what's going on in the family. The family was the first church that God set up in Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, with the father as the head and the wife and the children following. And that's really the model that God has set up for all of us. And we have the church and we have tons of programs. We have the school with the Christian education here, and those things are all wonderful and they're beneficial, but they are meant to be supplemental. They are not the core of God's work of spreading the gospel. That goes to parents in families, and that's where that needs to start. And so I encourage all of you, keep up with those family devotions. If you've given up on them for a while, restart them. It's not that it's not a big commitment to just pick it back up with today, April 17th, and start back going again and doing those devotions every day. I know I was talking to one family, they do it in the morning before breakfast. Personally, we try to do it right before bedtime at my house.
We do bedtime too. In the morning, that sounds like a very well organized family.
Yeah.
I commend anybody who has the time and capability to do it in the morning.
It's impressive.
Yes, know. I salute you.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So take responsibility, you know, and hey, it's a good thing. You know, it's a real blessing. It's a work, but it's prioritizing it. It will be a good thing, this nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, well, hey, I appreciate you popping on for this devotion. It's been encouraging to touch base in God's Word with you on this, and pray that God would bless all those who hear it, and hopefully you can use this as you in your own walk of faith and, you know, your relationship, whether it be with your parents or with your children. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank and bless you for the chance to study your Word today. Bless and encourage us as children, as parents, as we seek to give honor and authority to those whom you have given it, and bless us as we strive to not provoke our children to wrath, but to teach them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray that you would encourage us to grow in your Word. Help us to come to your Word daily through devotion and personal Bible readings. And as you promise, that faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so that comes to our weekly updates and reminders today. Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew has accepted our call. We put an announcement this last weekend about the plans for the installation weekend, which will be May 25th and 26th. That is Memorial Day weekend. Pastor Mayhew will be installed, first of all, Saturday at 4 p.m. So that's earlier than our normal services, which is at 6 o'clock. That will be canceled. We'll move it earlier to 4 o'clock. That will allow for area congregations and pastors to be able to attend that 4 o'clock installation service. And then there will be a potluck to follow on Saturday evening as well. So please plan to join us for that. That will be the larger service. And then we will also plan to do a service the next day, too. For anybody who can't understand, it'll be a repeat service. The installation will take place again on the 26th at 10 a.m. at our normal worship service. But again, we're inviting and encouraging people to attend that Saturday service if they are able to, again, at 4 p.m.
Yeah, so Mrs. Donnell Olmanson was kind enough to organize the potluck. Sign-up sheets are going out today. So if you see those, feel free to sign up and make sure we have a good meal for everyone.
Yep, so it's a old-fashioned style potluck. So everybody bring a casserole or dish to share or dessert or whatever. And yeah, we'll hopefully feed the whole crew that way. So we will have a lot of people attending from out of town, I would imagine. A number of other pastors have already contacted me about attending, so please add your contributions to ours to bring enough food for everybody.
We can't all do cheesy potatoes. So.
Oh, shoot.
I know. All well, right. I could do that.
Also want to highlight for you, this past Sunday, the Emmanuel Indoor Adventure Day took place. We normally do outdoor adventures, but it was very nice outdoors on Sunday. But we decided to do an indoor adventure for April. You want to tell us what took place in Lake Crystal?
Yeah, well, in April, you never know what you're going to get weather-wise. So we did an indoor event at Lake Crystal for the pool day. We had over 75 people show up. It was a little chaotic with the kids running around, but the lifeguards were there. Everybody was safe. There was a good water slide.
Yeah,
the water slide was great. Everybody had a blast.
Yeah.
Probably Samson the most.
He went on that water slide consistently for about an hour and 45 minutes. So just up and down and up and down.
Did he sleep good that night?
He was out cold, yeah. Yep.
So it was a win for everybody.
it was a lot of fun. I think we should do that every year probably to find a time to do that.
I think this is going to be a consistent one.
Yeah.
It worked out really, really well.
Yeah. Yep. Excellent. Thank you to Hillary for organizing that. She put a lot of work into getting all that done. So thank you to her. Want to also thank Colleen Kranz. She's been teaching music here at Emmanuel for the past couple of years, and she has passed on her resignation. So she's planning to stay home next year to take care of Juliet. And so thank her for her work among us. And also want to note that the Board of Ed last week extended the call to teach music to Deborah Mayhew. So Deborah would be Pastor Mayhew's wife as they'll be moving here again, as we mentioned, in May. So we await to hear what she will decide with that, but that's where that sits for now. I want to thank also everybody who came to the church cleaning day this past week. Did not have a great attendance for that, so there are a number of projects still available and work that needs to be done to clean the church. If you have time and are able to do that, there's a list on the in the narthex by the guest book there that you could take a look at and see what work still needs to be done. You could do it then at your own time. There is going to be another cleanup day this Saturday in the cemetery, so that'd be April 20th. I believe they're starting at 9:30, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right.
So if you weren't able to help last weekend, maybe this weekend you could help with the cemetery cleanup. Always a lot of work to be done out there this Saturday.
Yeah, if you've never done a cemetery cleanup before, if you don't know what it involves, if you show up with nothing, we'll put you to work. Sometimes a lot of it is just cleaning up sticks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is clearing out some brush, putting in the burn pile, getting rid of tipped over artificial flowers. It's not hard work. It's just a big space. So we just need hands.
Mm-hmm.
Even kids, especially children, they like to pick up sticks anyway.
Yeah.
So
put
them to work. Everybody wins.
Yeah. You won't provoke them to wrath at the cemetery.
Right.
Yeah. Coming up this weekend is our Mission Festival service, April 21st and 22nd. My brother Sam is actually coming from the cities where he is living with his wife and four kids. So they're coming to do the Mission Festival. There's going to be no meal with everything else we got going on, but there is a Sunday school play that will take place on Sunday after church. That's the 21st, I guess. So the church will be 20th to 21st. Sunday school play after church on Sunday. This play was written by the 5th and 6th graders here at Emmanuel, and it's really an awesome play. I was just reading through it. It takes place on Palm Sunday. It's Jairus and his daughter, and it's a couple other people who are healed by Jesus, and they're kind of watching Jesus in the distance as the events of Palm Sunday take place, and they kind of recap what happened to them in the past. So pretty elaborate play, so we're looking forward to that. Our Sunday school teachers are most of the main parts, but we're also going to have some of the Sunday school students taking part as well. So there will be bars and some light snacks and drinks and stuff downstairs too. So hope you can come join us for that. It should be a lot of fun. Next Monday is the quarterly voters meeting, April 22nd. That'll be 7:00. Anything we need to know about that coming up here, Mr. President?
Sure. So if anybody would like to become a voter that's not a voter, just let me or Pastor Nauman know, and we'll take you through that simple, painless process.
Mm-hmm.
Voters meetings usually only last an hour or two. This is our standard quarterly meeting, so reports from all the boards will come up and any other new business. So property, education, they'll all just let everybody know what's going on. Financial reports as well. And then a report from our ad hoc committee, our newest ad hoc committee, about what to do with the land on 3rd Avenue.
And I'll mention too that the meeting is open to anybody, right? So it's a voters meeting that anybody is sure welcome to attend and see what takes place. And we also have a number of women who are there too, who are paying attention. So certainly isn't a closed door meeting. Anybody's welcome to attend it.
Right. And if you're not able to attend, Mr. Alan Olmanson takes good notes, and we try to get that information out too as soon as possible.
Yeah. Our secretary, Mr. Olmanson. Next, the weekend after that, April 27th and 28th, is confirmation weekend. So our confirmands are hard at work preparing for that examination. So there will be no Bible class or Sunday school on Saturday evening. Sunday morning, we offer Sunday school up through fourth grade, but we encourage all the fifth and sixth graders to attend the examination. And certainly anybody younger is welcome to attend the examination as well if they want to. But that will all take place during the 9 o'clock Bible class hour. We'll have that examination in the church. Our confirmands will go up to the front and be asked questions about the six chief parts of the catechism that they've been studying over the past 2 years. And then at the confirmation service itself will be at 10 o'clock. So everyone's welcome to attend both the examination at 9 and also the confirmation service at 10. And then also just want to highlight on your calendars, Adopt a Highway is coming up May 11th. So a little less than a month from now. Again, that'll hopefully be a nice, beautiful Saturday morning. We go clean our highway out on Monks Avenue. As far as our cancer patients, we've been praying for Pastor John Hine. I know that he is out east to Washington, D.C., I believe, right now, getting some tests done to see whether he'd be eligible for a special opportunity for cancer treatment. So prayers with him as he's going through those tests right now. We also pray for Marlene Hannell, who's recently gotten done with her chemo therapy. And we've also been praying for Jim Lean. You mentioned your dad, Zach, how he's been doing lately.
Yeah. So Jim, he's my father. He lives down in Tremont, Minnesota, if you don't know where it is. Nobody does. his cancer is considered undetectable right now, which is a miracle in itself. I think we're 5 years into this diagnosis. Prostate to bone cancer, and generally that's been considered it. That you just have that till the end of your earthly time here. And he's one of very few where the cancer is not gone; it's undetectable.
I'm
not an oncologist, so I'll just
leave it
trust
there.
Him. Yeah. Sounds like it's good news, so I'll take it as good news.
Sounds like our prayers have been working.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so we just gotta have somebody hold our arms up while we pray and
absolutely
keep going until we can.
Yeah. All righty. Also praying on behalf of Elsie Swanson, who was born, I believe, about 2 weeks ago now. She'd be the daughter of our member, Erica Swanson, who is the granddaughter of Sue Jensen. So we pray, thank God for the healthy birth for Elsie and an upcoming baptism as well. We pray on behalf of Chuck Bodie, who took a fall last week and broke his hip. He's in a rehab facility and will be for quite some time, I understand, going forward. We also pray on behalf of Lota Eric, be the daughter of Mrs. Erica Hart. He was in a car accident last week, and I believe he's out of ICU now, and he's working on some rehab and taking steps. So we thank God for that and pray that he would return to strength, too. It sounds like quite a horrific car accident injury he suffered. So we pray for him that God would give him healing. And then finally, we pray for the family of Balbina Macias. That'd be Joel Macias's grandmother, who passed away this past week too. So keep Joel and Deidre and Starlet in our prayers as they prepare for her funeral services and so forth. Which brings us then to our hymn of the day today, which is hymn 624 in the Red Hymnal. O blessed home where man and wife together lead a godly life, by deeds their faith confessing. There many a happy day is spent, there Jesus gladly will consent to tarry with his blessing. If they have given him their heart, the place of honor set apart, for him each night and morrow, then he the storms of life will calm, will bring for every wound a balm, and change to joy their sorrow. And if their home be dark and drear, the cruise be empty, hunger near, all hope within them dying, let them despair not in distress. Lo, Christ is there, the bread to bless, the fragments multiplying. O Lord, we come before thy face, in every home bestow thy grace, on children, father, mother. Relieve their wants, their burdens ease. Let them together dwell in peace and love to one another. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. For more information about the ongoing activity here, we'd invite you to check out our website, emmanuelmankato.org. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.